Well, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 3. Doing a short-ish series in the Psalms at the start of the year. Probably I'll go up to Psalm 8. And the intention is in years to come to come back to the Psalms eventually before I'm old and grey. I might have got through the Psalter. So let us hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all round. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people.
Amen.
Psalm 3 is a psalm that you can sing in times of crisis. And you can sing this psalm in times of crisis confident that God will sustain you through that crisis that you're going through, and that in the end, he will enable you to triumph. And this evening, what I want to try to do is explain to you how and why this is true, how and why you can sing Psalm 3 in times of crisis, confident that God will sustain you through them and in the end enable you to triumph. And I want to do that by considering this psalm under three headings. I want us to look firstly, at the crisis that David faces in this psalm. Secondly, I want us to look at David's response to his crisis. And then thirdly, I want us to consider the security that David enjoys in the midst of his crisis. First of all then, the crisis that David faces. King David wrote this psalm at a time of serious crisis, or at least as he looked back on a time of serious crisis and reflected upon it. And you can see in this psalm that he faces a multifaceted crisis. In the first place, he faces political crisis. We read in verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. There is rebellion in the ranks. Many Israelites have turned against their anointed king. David is experiencing at first hand what we looked at a little last week at the beginning of Psalm 2. There's a connection there. The beginning of Psalm 2, the psalmist cries out, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And we saw that ultimately that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ on the cross. But here David, King David, as the one who rules over Israel, is experiencing such rebellion, such resistance to his kingship. His kingdom is under severe threat. And David is on the run. So it's a major political crisis that David faces in this psalm. Secondly, it's a personal crisis that he faces. Who has led this rebellion against David? It's his own son. His own son, Absalom. That's what we read in the title of this psalm, the Psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. And you can read about Absalom's conspiracy against his father in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom, there we read, had turned the hearts of many of Israel against his father. He had incited rebellion. And imagine just how heartbreaking it must have been for David to have his own son instigating rebellion against him. It's bad enough having rebellion in the ranks, but when you know that it's your own son who has instigated and incited such rebellion, surely that makes it so much worse. His own son, who he'd raised and loved and taken care of and provided for, it's his own son who is leading this rebellion which has caused David to flee for his life. He faces a personal crisis as well as a political crisis. But thirdly, it's also a spiritual crisis that David is facing at this time. We might say that the political and the personal crises have a spiritual dimension. In verse 2, he says, "Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." No salvation for him in God. God will not save you. God will not rescue you. I mean, it's bad enough for David that much of the nation has risen up against him. And it's even worse that his own son has risen up against him. But perhaps worst of all is the temptation to believe that God himself has turned against David. That God himself will not save him. That he will not keep his promise to establish and to build his kingdom. It's not just David's kingdom or David's life that is under attack. It's also his faith. David's faith in God, his faith in God's love and promises and salvation. That is what is under attack here. And it's perhaps this attack on his faith and his trust in the Lord that is the hardest crisis for him to bear. I mean, the battle lines are drawn at the start of this psalm, and they focus upon this fundamental question. At a time of great crisis, will David believe God, or will he believe what his enemies are saying? That is the focus of this battle, this crisis that David is facing. Will David trust in the Lord, in his word, in his covenant promises, or will he trust and believe in the lies of his enemies? That is the fundamental question that David faces in this psalm. And before we look at his response to that most fundamental of questions, I think it's worth saying that in many ways that is the question that you face every day, perhaps especially at times of crisis. When unbelievers are saying to you, or you hear them saying, "There is no God. How can anyone believe in God? They did in the past, that was fine for them then, but who, which serious person can believe in God now?" Or when you hear the devil, as it were, whispering in your ear, "God does not really love you. God does not really care for you. God cannot save you. Look at what you are going through. Look at the crisis or the heartache that you are experiencing. Surely your circumstances show Either that there is no God at all, or that if there is a God, he doesn't really care for you. He doesn't really love you. He will not save you. This is the fundamental question that you face every day, perhaps especially at times of crisis. Will you believe God? Or will you believe those who oppose God? That is the fundamental question. So David faces this great crisis here in Psalm 3, a political crisis, a personal crisis, and if you like, a crisis of faith when he's being tempted to doubt God and not to trust in him. Secondly then, let's look at David's response to his crisis. Look at verses 3 and 4. David says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." How does David respond to the crisis that he is going through? How does he respond to that most fundamental of questions? His response is, "I believe in the Lord. I trust in my God. I will not believe those taunts of my enemies, even though my circumstances would seem to confirm what they are saying, that there is no salvation for me in God. I yet believe the Lord." And notice in these verses 3 and 4, that he affirms four particular truths about God. He affirms, first of all, that the Lord is a shield about him. In other words, he confesses his belief that the Lord will protect him. Secondly, he affirms the Lord is, as he puts it, my glory. In other words, I believe that the Lord will preserve my kingship. Glory there has to do with the kingship, the royal dignity and throne of David. I believe that the Lord will preserve my kingship. Thirdly, that the Lord is the lifter of my head. I believe, David says, that you will raise me up above my enemies. At the moment, I'm sinking down under their opposition. I'm fleeing from them for my life, but I believe, I know, that the Lord is the lifter of my head. He will raise me up above my enemies. I will be vindicated. And then fourthly, he believes that the Lord answers his prayer. Verse 4, "I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." Though David was far away from Jerusalem, he yet believed that the Lord was near to him and heard him as he cried out to him in prayer. In short, David responds to that taunt of verse 2, "There is no salvation for him in God." He responds to that taunt by saying, "Yes, there is. There most certainly is. I know my Lord. I know my God. I know that he is faithful to his covenant. I know that he will not renege on any of his promises to me. I know that he is utterly true and reliable. I know that there is salvation for me in him." That is what David is saying here. And remember, David could well have looked at his desperate circumstances, at all that he was going through, his son turning against him and inciting rebellion, having to flee for his life. His life was under serious threat at this time. The kingdom tottering on the brink. He could have looked at those circumstances and come to the conclusion, maybe they are right. Maybe they are right. Maybe there is no salvation for me in God. My circumstances would certainly seem to indicate that. But that is not what David does, is it? David, you see, does not let his circumstances, however terrible they were, he does not let his enemies' taunts, however vile and vicious they were, he doesn't let them dictate to him. He doesn't let them control the way that he is thinking. Instead, what does David do? He lets God's word, God's unchangeable word and unchangeable promises do the talking. That is what David listens to in his hour of crisis. Calvin, in his commentary on this psalm, says the following. He says that although the whole world, with one voice, should attempt to drive us to despair, instead of listening to it, we ought rather to give ear to God alone. And that's so pastorally helpful, isn't it? For those of you who may well be being driven to despair at this time, because the whole world seems to be saying to you with one voice, there is no God, or God does not love you, or you cannot trust God, there is no salvation for you in him, and all of your circumstances would seem to suggest that. Listen to Calvin more than that. Listen to the word of God. Close off your ears to a world that is steeped in error and lies and darkness. And open your ears to God's unchangeably true word. That is what you must do in crisis. When your soul is assaulted, you must say, I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm not going to believe my desperate circumstances and what they seem to be saying to me. I'm going to listen to God and him alone, and I'm going to believe him. That is what the man or the woman of faith says. That's how David responds to his crisis. He affirms his faith in the Lord. And then look with me at the resulting security that he enjoys, having affirmed his faith in the Lord in the midst of his crisis. My third point, the security that David enjoys in crisis. He says in verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Now, does that surprise you a little bit? David said, I lay down and slept. I slept. I mean, what is one of the first things to go when you are in a crisis? What's one of the first things to go? It's sleep, isn't it? You just can't get to sleep. You're overwhelmed by trouble, by fear, by anxiety, by a debilitating worry. And as a result, sleep deserts you, doesn't it? I'm sure many of you know what that's like. And so it's quite remarkable, I think, that David is able to say what he does here. I lay down and slept while I'm on the run, while my life is under threat, my own son has rebelled against me, my kingdom is on the brink. People are saying to me, there's no salvation for you in God. I lay down and slept. And David was able to do so because he knew that the Lord was his shield, his glory, the lifter of his head, because he knew, you see, that whilst many, many thousands of enemies surrounded him, God yet surrounded him all the more. And that he was therefore absolutely safe, absolutely secure in the hands of the Lord. Indeed, he was even able to say, verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all round. Now, this statement of David, this is not sort of macho bravado. I mean, don't read this as if David was kind of beating his chest and, you know, clenching his fists and saying to all of his enemies, come on then, I can take you all on. That's pure machismo. That's not what David is saying. David is simply saying here, although what is happening to me ought to shake me to the core, it's not going to. It's not going to shake me to the core. Why? Because in the end I know that all of my many thousands of enemies who surround me, they are not in control of my life. I know that God is. And so he is able to sleep securely. And all fear vanishes. His enemies do not control him. He knows that God is the one who controls his life. And so he goes on in verse 7 to call on God to save him. This is a cry of confidence. He knows for certain that God will arise and save him. And then he concludes his psalm in verse 8 by affirming that truth, notice, that had been called into question right at the very beginning of the psalm. Verse 2, there is no salvation for him in God. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. There's the response of David. You say there's no salvation for me. Salvation belongs to the Lord. There's a nice sort of parallel structure to this psalm. I mean, David's world was in a spin. Spinning around. But David himself was not in a spin. Why? Because the gravity force of God's word gave to him an unshakable security. Some of you here this evening, you may well struggle to sleep. Some of you, for various reasons, I suppose, some of you may be more naturally prone to fear and anxiety and worry. And I think it would be far too simplistic, not to mention pastorally damaging of me, to say that all you need to do is what David does here in verses 3 and 4. You just need to say, the Lord's my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head, and then all will be well. Seems to me that might be a little bit simplistic. However, what we can say is that as a general rule, the extent to which you anchor yourself in God and in God's word is the extent to which you will enjoy a true peace, true security. If you are not, as David does here, anchoring yourself in the Lord and in his word, then you will be shaken to the core when crisis strikes. But you see, the stability, the poise that come from knowing, from trusting, from anchoring yourself in God, that can give to you the sweet rest of sleep. Even in the midst of the most trying of circumstances. And so we see in this psalm, as we come to a conclusion, that David triumphed in a time of crisis. And what is significant is that because David triumphed, because he didn't believe that taunt of his enemies, because he concludes by saying, salvation belongs to the Lord. I know that my God is with me and loves me and will save me. Because David triumphed, you see, so too did the people. Because David triumphed in his capacity as the king of Israel, as the one who represented the people. And this explains why he says, right at the end of the psalm, your blessing be on your people. There's a sudden change there, isn't there? Right at the end, all throughout the psalm, it's been how many are my foes. Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. I cried aloud, I lay down and slept, I will not be afraid. It's all I, me, mine. And yet right at the end here, your blessing be on your people. There is this sudden change from the personal to the corporate, the collective. And that is so because David knows that his triumph is the people's triumph. He knows that his success in overcoming this crisis by faith in the Lord, he knows that his success is his people's success. That blessing comes to them as their king, their representative, triumphs. And of course, exactly the same is true for you this evening. Exactly the same is true for you with one crucial difference. And you know what it is. You are not represented by King David. You are, of course, represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are represented by the Lord Jesus, who himself faced many foes. Many foes rose up against him. Indeed, you could say the whole world was against Christ, couldn't you? The whole world was against him. And Jesus himself was taunted when he was on the cross with the words, "There is no salvation for him in God." He saves others. He cannot save himself. Let God deliver. You can't come down. He was taunted. There's no salvation for you in the Lord. But of course, Jesus, your king, your representative, trusted his Father. He was secure in his Father's love. And by his death, he destroyed all of his enemies. He, to use the language of verse 7, struck his enemies on the cheek, having himself been struck on the cheek. And he broke the teeth of the wicked by his death and his resurrection. And thereby he became the Lord who is our salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. David faced a great crisis here. Political crisis, personal crisis, a crisis of faith. Great crisis he faced. You face many crises. But Jesus faced the ultimate crisis, didn't he? Crucifixion, bearing all the sins of all of his people, bearing the wrath of God, bearing the torments of hell. He faced the ultimate crisis. No one has faced a crisis like Jesus did, and yet he triumphed over it. He was not defeated by his crisis. And you see, because he is your king and your representative, you sing this psalm in union with your Lord and with your King and with your Saviour. That's how and that's why you can sing with great credibility and legitimacy this psalm, because you sing it in union with Christ. You are hated by the same world that hated him, but you're loved and you're kept by the same Father who lifted up his head. And you're heard, and you're answered, and you are sustained just as Jesus was. And in him, you can be certain, absolutely certain, of present safety in the crisis that you're going through. And of course, sure, you can be sure of future triumph. This is how. This is why you can and you ought to sing this psalm at all times, but perhaps especially in times of crisis. And you can sing it confident that God will sustain you and enable you to triumph in the end, because you sing it in union with your head and with your King. The one who experienced the greatest crisis of all on your behalf and who came through it. Do you think he's going to let you sink under all of your relatively minor crises? He's not. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm penned by David, inspired by you. And we thank you that we can sing it and apply it to ourselves as those who are represented by and united to our great King, the Lord Jesus, who endured in many ways a life of unending crisis and a death that was like no other, and he triumphed over it all. And we thank you that in our times of crisis, we can therefore sing this psalm, confident that you will sustain us and enable us to triumph in him. We therefore give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.